So far during this year's Mental Health Awareness Month, right here on Lessons from the Screen, we have looked at what mental health is. We've looked at the disparities and the issues with getting mental health services in the community. And now it's time to look at what mental health disorders are and the symptoms they present. Because out of the top seven barriers to treatment, only one has anything to do with issues not related to personal beliefs or societal fear. 40% of Black people don't get treatment because they are in denial. 38% are embarrassed or ashamed. 31% flat out refuse. 29% lack money or insurance. That would be the one. 17% are just plain scared. 17% don't know what to do. And 12% are just hopeless. We are going to get to what can be done. But right now, we're still in the process of defining the problem. Because we believe that once the problem is thoroughly defined and identified, real steps can be taken towards solving it, and not before. Lessons from the Screen is back, presenting these facts with a little opinion laid on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurt, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And I, welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any information that you can get from any particular screen of any kind is worth your time. We waste our time and energy and brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a Black activist, advocacy, and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education and the culture shift, with a little bit of a focus on economics as well. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. Leave a donation, take a survey, volunteer, get involved, do whatever you can to make sure that they succeed, because they're doing whatever they can to make sure that you succeed. And we got a good show for you today as we continue on in this 2018's Black Mental Health Awareness Month of August. So, as I said earlier, today we're going to start looking at what the mental health disorders are. Now, keep in mind, I am not a licensed and professional mental health service provider. So, don't take what I say and self-diagnose yourself and then run to the doctor and say, man, Pat on Lessons from the Screen told me I had this, because that's not what I said. All I'm doing is giving you some basic information about what these things are so that you can be a little bit more informed, do your own digging. And then when you go and talk to your mental health provider or your primary care physician, you can have that discussion with them on an equitable basis and understand a little bit more about what's going on instead of just taking his word for it and or her word for it. And remember, like, when you're talking to your PCP, your professional care provider, or even if you're going into the emergency room to get taken care of, remember that your health is your responsibility. It is not your doctor's. It is not your mental health provider's. It is not anybody else's. It's your responsibility. They have a responsibility to you to assist you in getting healthy. But your health is your responsibility. So when you're having these conversations, that is a two-way dialogue. That is a conversation. That is not you listening to your doctor lecture you about how you feel. That is you giving information, them receiving the information, giving it back, you receiving that information, giving something else back. It's a dialogue. It's a conversation. It's equitable exchange. If you don't have that with whoever you're getting your health services from, you need to go somewhere else. We're going to say that like that. And you can tell your doctor that I told you that, because I did tell you that. And it's good advice. And if he got a problem with that or she got a problem with that, they're a horrible doctor's office to begin with. Excuse me. Just raged a little bit. Sorry, I listened to the Fix rant before I recorded this, so you gotta excuse me. I had to get that out of my system. Anyways, moving forward. So actually, you know what? Since I just ran it for a good little bit, we are gonna talk about these disorders. We're gonna go over a few of them, and then the next show we're gonna go over a few more. And then we'll be done with that. We'll move on to the next portion. But I'm going to I'm going to stick the intro music in right here so that we can start off right and I can woo-saw a little bit. I said intro music, but I meant transition music. Anyways, so moving forward, the very first thing we're going to talk about, anxiety disorders. Now, I'm going to give you what I'm talking about, give you a little bit of information about it, and then we're just going to move on. We're going to keep it going like that. So anxiety disorders, you know, an anxiety disorder is a disorder where a person's response is not appropriate for the situation, or they aren't in control of the response, or it interferes with their normal functioning, them going living throughout their daily life. Now, these responses can be psychological, like fear or dread or some other strong emotions, as well as physical, like rapid heart beating. Your heart starts beating really, really, really fast and sweating. And this is where we begin to talk about like certain phobias. We begin to talk about panic issues, generalized or social anxiety issues and things of that nature. So this isn't an area where you're like, oh my God, I'm afraid of roaches. This is an area where like you see a roach and you climb through a wall and you run through three trees and you busting, you know, the neighbor that's behind you, you busting their house and you go in their kid's bed and you get under the cover. After you kick their kid out of the bed, you get under their kid covers and you in there all huddled up and shaking, and the kid is like, what's going on? And you just keep mushing the kid in the face, just mushing the kid in the face, just like your hand is in the kid's face, and you get that little twist on the end. There's just that old nasty mush, just get out of your bed, and you're just there and you're inconsolable, and somebody has to come get you, but they can't get you because you're utterly terrified to go back to your house because you saw one of them gigantic tree roaches, the ones that just them big old nasty ones, the ones that you can hear them walk. You saw one of those. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about anxiety disorders. Now, generalized anxiety disorders, and we want to harp on this a little bit, just a little bit, is a disorder that causes anxiety or exaggerated worry about everyday life events with no obvious reason to worry. And so the reason why I want to harp on this a little bit is because this is where cultural differences comes into play. Or, you know, maybe we could say that Black people are kind of born with general anxiety disorders. I'm not real sure. Well, I am sure, and I'm kind of being silly. But anyways, look, for instance, right? Take this, right? If a white person experiences the same stress response as a Black person to a police encounter of any kind, then that might be an issue for that white person. They might need to go and talk to a mental health professional and get their issues worked out. But for Black people, like, that's survival. Like, when we see a cop and we get nervous, we start sweating. Some of us, and I know this is true, some of us have the uncontrollable desire to run. I've seen that. And they take off running. They ain't done nothing. The cop is in the store. I've been with them all day, so I know they ain't done nothing. And they just break out. Now, I know that that probably is anxiety. I'm sure it is. But I also view that as survival instinct. That's hundreds of years of instinct manifesting itself into survival. Into this one instance where you see a cop, you see the badge, you see the uniform, you see the gun, and you understand in that moment on a molecular atomic level that there's an increased probability of things going wrong just by virtue of the proximity. So, you know, that's where we get into the differences of the cultural differences of these psychological issues, these mental health issues. And this is why we need more Black mental health providers, because a white mental health provider couldn't even begin to counsel you through that without a significant amount of study that they aren't getting in their schools. And I know they aren't, because I've taken the classes. They aren't getting that sort of training in their schools to be able to understand on a cultural level why Black people have that almost innate fear of police officers, that almost innate nervousness when they come around. So I just want to point that out. I just want to make that illustration. That's something that, you know, we definitely got to take into account. But, you know, it's something that we also need to be looking at and being aware of ourselves in terms of what we're feeling and what we got going on. Anxiety disorders, I do believe, are very prevalent in the community. Very, very, very much so. So, next up, we got mood disorders. Now, mood disorders involve persistent feelings of sadness or periods of feeling overly happy, manic almost, extremely jubilant, or feelings that fluctuate from one end to the other wildly. Now, this isn't your run-of-the-mill mood changes like, oh, I'm happy and something happened and now I'm sad. This is someone that is jubilant or excessively happy or manic, as I said earlier, one moment, and then the next moment they're inconsolably sad. They're just bawling uncontrollably, and they're just to the point of misery. Now, and we're talking about going from one extreme to the next with very little, if any, stimulus at all. So that's where we begin to talk about things like bipolar disorders. Depression falls into this category. And with depression, it's important to point out that depression isn't just about being sad, right? It's not just about like, oh my God, I don't feel good. Everybody has moments where they get depressed, where they become depressed. You know, I'm feeling a little depressed right now. You know, it's like almost like being hungry. You know, I'm a little bit hungry right now. I'm a little bit hungry, but you're not starving. You're just a little hungry. You ain't ate in a while, so you're a little hungry. You know, something bad happened, so you're a little sad. You know what I'm saying? You ain't get the job. You're a little sad. You ain't get the... Oh, wait. We talking to business owners and successful black people. So you know, you ain't get the contract. Your company ain't get the contract. You know what I'm saying? Or she said no. You know, or whatever the case might be. You're a little sad. That's cool. But when we're talking about depression, we're talking about like you've been sad for an extreme period of time, like 2 weeks or more. And it's like a deeper level emotion. And in some cases, it's not even the sadness of it, because a lot of people that are depressed feel emptiness. They feel numb. They don't feel anything. And so that can also be depression. It's just a general lowness, a overall lowness in your experiences and your emotions and the enjoyment that you used to get. Everything is just low, running really low. And then some people running low to the point of non-existence. That's why when you have these questions for people, they ask you, are you no longer enjoying things that you used to enjoy? That's where you get into why that question is so relevant, because we're talking about with severe depression, extreme emptiness, extreme sadness, an extreme state of lowness, low energy, just low excitement, just lowness. So I want to point that out. This isn't your regular, like, I'm sad. This is like an extreme sense of numbness or emptiness or lowness. So when we're talking about mood disorders, those are the kinds of things that we're talking about. So then you have your psychotic disorders. Now, psychotic disorders involve a distorted awareness, hallucinations, where you see or hear things that aren't there, or delusions. People believe in things that aren't true despite evidence to the contrary. Schizophrenia is in that category, along with, you know, hardcore Trump supporters, flat earthers, and those people that believe that the same melanin that makes your skin brown is what makes space appear black. And that almost makes you wonder, right, if psychotic disorders are being normalized or are being taught or inculcated by our failing education system, because there are a lot of facts out here disproving a lot of beliefs that people consistently have, these unchanging beliefs. You know, you feel like you're living in a land of psychotic people. And of course, you know, I got to say this again, because I understand, you know, people don't have senses of humor. People don't understand humor. People don't understand jokes. People don't understand sarcasm. So when you say things nowadays, and maybe that's another form of some sort of adjustment disorder or psychotic disorder that we have developed as a nation. But for some reason, when you say things now, people take you as being serious no matter what you say or how you say it. So I got to put that out there. That whole last part, I was just joking, guys. Chill out. But psychotic disorders are no joking matter. There are a lot of people running around with schizophrenia, a lot of people running around with other psychotic disorders, other types, you know, dementia and things of that nature. And those are very serious disorders, commonly seen in the elderly, although we do see them manifest themselves in younger people frequently enough. So those are things that you definitely want to get somebody checked out if you're starting to notice or see things that you perceive or that could potentially be a breakdown in their awareness or their attachment to reality. You know, like Omarosa saying that Donald Trump wasn't a racist, that was psychotic. But she seems to have snapped back. So, whatever you feel. Now, next up, we have eating disorders, which are commonly referred to as white girl or Becky diseases in the community. And we all know what these are: anorexia, which is, you know, when you're eating because you are, when you're not eating because you have an intense fear of gaining weight; bulimia, which is when you binge eat and then throw it up; and then there are binge eating disorders, which is when you compulsively overeat as a way to cope with unwanted emotions of stress. You use food as a coping mechanism, as your therapy. And while we might laugh and joke about the teenage white girls and, you know, things of that nature, it's important to remember that because of our interaction with their culture, we have far too many black people dealing with eating disorders as well. This is not some matter that we should just continue to laugh at and write off as, you know, a Becky disorder. This is something that really does affect a lot of black people, predominantly black women, because these eating disorders, especially things like anorexia and bulimia, are things that primarily affect women. But we need to take these serious. And I'm going to harp right here for a moment, because the stigma of eating disorders being a white person issue is so prominent that a report was released in the mid-2000s which showcased this. Clinicians were presented with identical case studies demonstrating disorder eating symptoms in white, Hispanic, and black women. And only 17% of the clinicians identified the behavior as problematic amongst black women, compared to over 40% for both whites and Hispanics. And that's the sort of cultural bias that goes back to what I was saying earlier about the need for cultural competency. That's the sort of cultural bias and incompetence that has black people messed up and getting subpar service and strengthening the distrust and the belief that these are not black issues. So to that, we can't even trust the percentages of how many black people have eating disorders, because only 17% of clinicians are putting the trigger on the diagnosis at a balanced rate. So I do believe this is something that is, eating disorders are prominent in the community. Unfortunately, I don't have any statistics that I trust to back it up, because this one statistic that shows that, and we know that most people that make diagnosis don't make the same diagnosis for black people that they make for other people. And therefore, we know that, and we can understand that that means that the numbers are skewed. They're off base. They're unbalanced. So this is where I go back to saying that we need more black mental health professionals. We need more black mental health and health period researchers, and we need to be doing our own studies and things of that nature so that we can figure these things out for ourselves and not have to worry about all of these comparative analysis with white culture groups and other culture groups that are inherently unbalanced and inherently broken because of the bias present not only in the clinicians but also in the researchers themselves. Now, we have impulse control and addiction disorders, and these are disorders in which people are unable to resist urges to do things that could be harmful. Pyromania is one, and it's people have the urge to set things on fire, play with fire. Kleptomania is another one. People have urges to steal. Compulsive gambling. All of these are impulse issues, and we all know what addiction issues are. So your homeboy that says that he just can't keep his hands to himself when a pretty girl walks by. Yeah, that dude, after you fuck him up for violating the system, take him to get some help because he might need that. Now, OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder involves constant thoughts or fears that causes someone to perform certain rituals or routines. Now, this isn't when you be like, oh, I have to rewind my tapes after I watch them. This is when you be like, I have to rewind my tapes after I watch them, because if I don't, my brother will die. So I need to make sure that I rewind the tape, and I don't remember if I rewind the tape. So I'm going to rewind the tape again, but I can't remember if I rewind the tape, and I don't want my brother to die. I can't have my brother die. So I got to check the tape to make sure that I rewind the tape. Now, obviously your brother dying, that's a bit of a whatever, but it is when you have these thoughts and fears that cause you. It's about the thoughts or the fears that cause you to perform certain rituals or routines. It's not about the actual ritual or routine itself. And so to that, I would say, if you are still listening to tapes in 2018, you might need to go see a mental health professional, because you might have daddy disease. And everybody know what daddy disease is. Everybody's daddy is stuck in some previous generation. I think my dad still has some 8-tracks. So, you know. If it's 2018 and you still listening to tapes, you're in the same category as your dad who was listening to 8-tracks in the 1990s. That's what it is. So, and the last thing that we're going to touch on for this show, because, you know, we got to keep these things brief, is PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, this is something that we talked about pretty thoroughly on the Freedom Train podcast series with Wesley Francois. So you should definitely check that out to get a thorough understanding of what PTSD. But it's basically when you go through a traumatic event and have a lasting, frightening, and numbing thoughts about it that impair your ability to live a normal life. So again, this ain't like when stomped your big toe and everybody laughed at you, and now every time the family get together, all y'all talk about, hey, you remember that time Junebug stomped his big toe? Yeah, man, it was funny, dog. It's not like that. This is like when you're in a severe event, a traumatic event. You've been abused, you've been harassed, raped, you've been mutilated, you've been beaten, you've been through some sort of near-death experience, you've seen someone else go through any of these things, and you are constantly going through that event in your mind. You might be in a situation where a stress response will trigger a memory of that event that'll cause you to relive it. That, or you might be in a situation where you might smell something, or you might feel something, you might hear something, you might be in a certain position physically that would all cause you to relive that event, and it impairs your ability to function in a normal way and to exist in your normal daily activities. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about PTSD. Now, I do think that there are a fairly large amount of Black people with some form of PTSD in the community. And when we think PTSD, as we talked about in the show, we talked about the fact that how we mostly think about it in terms of war veterans and people that came back from war. But if you witness a cop brutally beating somebody, if you witness an extreme or an egregious example of racism, if you experience these types of things, or if you witness them happening to others, that leaves a scar, it leaves a mark, and that could potentially be a cause for PTSD. I know most of the Black people that I know have had extremely negative experiences with law enforcement, not just cops, but also with sheriff's offices and various other people. You're talking about Latinos and or various other Hispanics, and you know, whatever issues they might have had with immigration. You're talking about all of these things that could trigger PTSD. So, you know, obviously we focus on the warfighting effort because America likes to pretend like it cares about its soldiers. And also, I partially believe because, you know, this kind of one of the more recognized ways for white people to get it, rather than recognizing that, you know, regular white people are giving minority groups PTSD all over the place. But that's what we're talking about. So with that being said, we will go into another the last batch of what we're going to highlight in terms of mental health illnesses on the next show, which will be Tuesday. And I would like to thank you again for tuning in to this issue of Lessons from the Screen, this episode. I hope that you take these discussions seriously. I hope that you engage your friends and your family in these discussions. Engage us in these discussions. Come on over to the website and interact with us right there on the homepage. Tell us some of your stories. Tell us what you think. And yeah, get the app. Enjoy yourselves. We love you. You love you. And we will see you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is back, presenting these facts with a little opinion on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever they body hurt, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PAX Inc. through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Be sure to head to one of those places and leave us a review, and then be sure to head back to the website to let us know what you think about the show and communicate with us. Also, be sure to head to www.paxinc.org and show some love and support for our sponsors. PAX Inc. is doing big things in the community and trying to do more, always trying to do more. So be sure to head to the website. That's www.paxinc.org. Donate, volunteer, become a member, talk about it, whatever. They can use your support. And once again, they are doing great things in the community. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the Black community. The things that we look at, whether it be on the Trending Tuesday or the regular Lessons from the Screen show, will always be looked at from the Black perspective. So keep that in mind, because we need more minds shaped into that perspective and trying to do things that we need done for ourselves. So with that in mind, again, thank you guys for listening in. Remember to tune in to the Freedom Train Radio. We have the app that's available that you can get from the website. It's in the Google Play Store. Sorry, it's not available on iTunes yet. We have the live internet radio, and we have more shows coming up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will see you guys for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.